Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my co-host and star of his own show, Chuck O'Challey. If you're not familiar with Chuck's work, get over to O'Challey.com. There's a live link right here. And now with net neutrality gone, our sites may end up being even more obscure than they are. So write it down, O'Challey.com. And hopefully you'll be able to get through to both of us. That's another thing we can thank Trump and his band of merry men for this morning. So listen, if it takes you longer to get on Netflix or Hulu, don't blame Hulu or Netflix, okay? They fought against this. Blame your service provider, because that's who's going to be banging you for extra money. Anyway, good morning, Chuck. How you doing?
Well, good morning, Maria. Are you feeling throttled today? Yes. There's a term I never thought I would use, but are you feeling throttled by the net neutrality? And yes, thankfully, you and I have unique spellings to ourselves, so we might survive some of what's gone on between the EU's rules changes regarding internet and now net neutrality dying an ugly death without very, very much notice, I would say, in the media, quite honestly. What do you think?
No, of course not. All they're going to talk about is the ridiculous summit that happened yesterday. But before we get into all that, which I thought was nothing more than self-promoting photo ops for two dictators, I wanted to ask you how you're feeling. I think this is the first time you sound pretty good for the past few months when you were down and out.
Yeah, I was, you know, it's interesting because you play a role in this little short story, and I'll try not to bore people listening, but fact is that for a couple of months there, I had a recurring illness that kept sliding back and forth as to exactly how much of it was dominating my existence physically for quite a while there, and I would say it was a good 3 months that I was battling with this. And you know what happens? A little bit of advice and a little bit of strength from somebody else and a reminder about, you know, how it is that our food is our medicine. Wait a minute, this all sounds familiar. Where would I get something like that from?
Well, and it was also my pleasure to send you Reiki, which is available to any of my listeners. If you need me to send you Reiki for healing or whatever reason, that's something that I don't charge for. I use that as my giveaway because I believe we should all have something we give away for free.
And just for, you know, clarification here and in full disclosure, I got to tell you that was really the only factor that changed in between the time I actually got over the hump and finally started to feel clear from this. You know, not an easy thing to do because, look, I'm talking 5 nights a week. Plus what I do with you, plus what I, you know, occasionally do as a guest or whatever else. I'm also producing shows. See, that's another thing I'm doing. But you were the factor that changed things as far as the trajectory of my personal health. So, you know, for people that might think that that's not a big deal or maybe they've never heard of it, you really need to look into it and understand what it is. And recognize that the voice of the woman that I am speaking with at the moment is somebody who is extremely familiar with these things and understands it, and I would never turn away Reiki from Maria. So keep that in mind.
Well, good. Well, you know, this morning I got a great email from one of my clients. I've known her since she was single. She's married. They have a little girl. And a couple of months ago, she had contacted me. They were in a panic because the doctor had said that they thought her daughter had autism because she wasn't speaking, this and that. The strain it put on her and her husband, they were both like going crazy. And when I read for her, I said, listen, your daughter doesn't have autism. Okay, she's got a speech problem. She needs to be in speech therapy. And this morning she sent me the most beautiful note. I even posted it on Facebook that after, you know, 5 times a week of speech therapy since February, her daughter not only has, I think she said, an 80-word vocabulary. I mean, this is a little kid, maybe 2 years old. But she's also been deemed that she does not have autism. And she thanked me for giving her peace of mind throughout this whole thing and letting her know that, you know, just hang in there. This is going to work. And those are the things that I like doing best. Okay, I mean, you and I like to shoot the shit about the news, but for me, I like to fix people's lives and give them direction and help them. Because the truth of the matter is, no matter what goes on in the political world, we still got to live our daily lives. Life sometimes can be really hard or throw a real, you know, horseshoe at you.
Well, here's the thing. You and I, I'm going to disclose a little bit of private information. I don't normally do this, but the fact is that you and I have discussions that are not recorded and not for public consumption on occasion. And quite honestly, I think that was another factor, not just the Reiki, not just the advice, but the idea that some of the stressors in my life, you kind of reassured me. And quite honestly, you know what? Everybody needs that from time to time. You and I talk about some of the stressful things that can be observed on the planet on a daily basis,
right?
Especially in the Trumposphere as it stands, right? But you know, you have to live at the same time, folks, and you do that with love more than anything, and that's something to keep in mind, you know, as we move forward, and that's my, you know, little meme, my audio meme for the day. Okay,
right.
You gotta never forget to love while you're living. All right. Anyway.
Well, now that we covered that, I'm glad you're feeling better. I do want to let my listeners know that right after today's show at 11:25 Pacific, I'll be Richie Allen's guest. I didn't want to forget that. So I'm sure I'll keep on talking. Chuck, you know, we're looking at, of course, you know, to me, what happened yesterday at the bullshit summit, and I will call it a bullshit summit, we got nothing out of North Korea. Trump immediately gave away the store, despite the fact that Mad Dog Mattis said now is not the time to talk about pulling our troops out of South Korea. Yet Trump has agreed to pull our troops out of South Korea, getting nothing from North Korea. Actually, what they signed was a joke, and it's less concessions than we had, you know, in the papers that were done in 1999. So both of them, you know, are both dictators. They're both liars. They're both proven liars. The reason the first meeting was canceled was because Kim Jong-un had lied. And then the liar in chief here decided he needed it for a photo op and for the midterm elections. And the same old promise, you're going to see great things, wonderful things are going to come out of this, hoping people will forget about it, which people probably will, you know, over the next few weeks. I don't know how much of it you got to see.
Well, I got to tell you, the positive spin that they're attempting to put on this is pretty interesting. But let's talk about the stages of capitulation, which is your word for today, folks listening. Capitulation. Here it is. It happened before the summit because, quite honestly, legitimacy was handed to a dictator who is in violation of various, you know, human rights statutes on the world stage. Okay, that's the reality of what we're talking about here. The smart guy with a good personality that the orange one is talking about right now, who's saying, "Oh, he trusts him and everything else." I find that really, really fascinating because at the very same time, you know, same within a week, saying that Russia needs to be invited back into the G8 despite the fact that their annexation of Crimea was the reason for them being removed from it and it becoming the G7 and picking a fight with Canada. You know, you don't have time
I know.
To keep track of the capitulation, but legitimacy to the North Korean leader, okay, praise which can be played in propaganda all over the place, is now in the hands of the North Korean leader, who you know, has done a good job because he took over a very tough thing and he ran a country very tough, Maria, don't you know? I don't understand how it is. And here's the question I have for you, actually, Maria, because I'm trying to digest this, wrap my head around it, and understand why it is I'm not seeing, you know, all hell break loose in the Congress, in the Senate at this moment. And I forget. So maybe you can help me. Do you think for a moment, if a previous president, like, say, Obama, let's pick one, had made these sorts of statements, this kind of outreach to an enemy dictator, effectively, who is, you know, threatening, has threatened in public statements issued by his own government, the United States, with nuclear strikes, okay? Do you think that within a few months, if somebody was sitting down, giving them praise, offering them legitimacy, and utilizing them for a giant photo op that also includes a movie trailer that looks like it must have been produced by the Weinstein Group, you know, when you put all that together, don't you think for a second that if Barack Obama had done this...
Oh, yeah, he would have been crucified. The Republicans would be up in arms today.
Oh,
without question of a doubt. Okay. But remember, you know, when he was blowing all this smoke at Kim Jong-un, you know, he's a great guy. We had a great meeting, blah, blah, blah. I trust him. You know, the first thing that I thought of was George W. Bush when he said, you know, he trusted Putin because he saw his soul. I don't know if you remember that quote, but I do, having covered Bush as fastidiously as I've had all the rest. And then, of course, Bush got screwed by Putin and he wasn't his pal anymore. And then here you have, you know, Trump obviously working Putin's magic by destroying our Western alliances with our friends, you know, making peace supposedly with Kim Jong-un, which is only going to piss off China, I think. And everybody seems to be okay with it. But don't forget, I don't know if you saw the video of Trump speaking, where he said that he told Kim Jong-un, instead of dropping missiles into on these beautiful beaches, you should have hotels, visualize hotels and condos here with a beautiful view of the beach. I mean, that's legitimate. I posted that this morning. I don't know if you saw it. And I was like, look at this. The whore even is just pushing for his Trump bullshit businesses. You know, he's talking to them like they're real estate people instead of the dictators that they are. And it's laughable. You know what I'm saying? It's laughable. But, you know, he, as long as he's getting his contracts, his daughter's getting her contracts, he'll deal with the devil himself while alienating our allies.
Well, you know, I guess we get to look forward to Trump Tower Pyongyang coming soon. But the fact is that, once again, see, now, I disagree with you about the Chinese thing, because I think the Chinese wanted this done. They've been trying to do business with North Korea without having to deal with all those pesky sanctions and things that the world community has kind of levied against them for their various crimes against humanity and human rights abuses, you know, that have been committed by the Korean regime over the past, oh, I don't know, couple generations. You know, I think the Chinese are more than happy to see this happen. And it does not bode well, because, see, the Chinese, the Russians, it's very interesting.
Well, let me, wait a minute, let me correct what I said about China, because I think you misunderstood.
Oh, okay.
Okay, don't you think it's going to make China very happy to get our 23,000 troops out of South Korea?
Oh, well, see, now, that, maybe. But the thing is that the idea that that Trump is going to be pushing for the normalization of relations with North Korea across the board, because he trusts him. And, oh, by the way, Maria, don't forget, he doesn't need to take notes either, because his memory's rock solid, according to him.
Right.
And that's another fascinating thing, is we're not going to be treated to anything other than what they wish to show us about this meeting. So no transcript. Who knows what kind of information could have been shared or not shared. The fact is,
it was a half-hour meeting, meaning with two translators, they actually talked for maybe 15 minutes. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, here we go again. It was like when he had those meetings with the Russians and the Russian spies right after he got in the White House, and there was no one there, just him and the spies. Remember that? He didn't let any press in or anything else.
Right.
So this is his MO, you know. Look, for all we know, these two could have been playing tiddlywinks for, you know, 15 minutes.
Well, see, but it's kind of irrelevant to Kim Jong-un. Why? Because he has already succeeded.
Oh, yeah.
He has normalization. He has, and he has also this concept of maybe reaching out and making peace with South Korea without the United States even being involved, by the way, which is something that we talked about last time we got together. And quite honestly, all of that rolled into one just leads to another rollover. See, this is the art of the deal, right? This is the guy who can go in and make tough negotiations happen. It looks like to me that despite the declarations that came out from, you know, a Trump staffer recently that, hey, we're America, bitch, is our motto over here.
That's,
I don't know if you saw
that's
that
what
article.
They said Trump's doctrine is. They asked what his doctrine is. And they
there
said it's not the Obama doctrine. It's America. We're America, bitch.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, we're America, bitch. Well, I guess take away the comma and maybe America has become the bitch because this guy is losing in every negotiation he's entering into by either fully withdrawing or, ready, that key word again, capitulating. And meanwhile, I don't understand this. His popularity is rising. Picking a fight with, you know, Canada, of all places. His popularity is rising. And I don't think people quite understand the lack of stability, the lack of sensibility, and the level of just grabbed and corrupt, you know, opportunism that is contained within the current regime. I mean, listen, our presidents for the past long time have been jokes, but this joke is no longer funny.
This is a dangerous joke. And listen, I had a story this morning, you know, as I'm collecting news for Thursday's show, that Ivanka and her husband have made $83 million in the private sector since they've been connected to the White House.
Oof.
All right. She just got, what, 13 trademarks from China? Trump just got 9. Including one for massage parlors and brothels, you know, following in his grandfather's footsteps. And yet the demonjelicals, you know, the fake Christians here, seem to be okay with that.
Well, you know, he was preordained by God, Maria. You got to remember that. I don't know which God that is, but I'm not praying to him. You know, this is what they tell you, right? He's there to do the good work, and
right.
We can give him... Sorry.
Yeah, he's picked by God, okay. Listen, you know, I learned a long time ago that man made God in his own image, you know, and that's why people like him are the way they are. They created their own bullshit God as a vengeful, you know, violent, let's kill everybody God. And they're the same way, okay? So, you know, Satan would be the only God that comes to mind, but this administration's kind of making Satan look like he's passé, like he's old-fashioned by comparison. But listen, you know, Trump didn't believe any polls when he was running, just like Bush didn't. And now all of a sudden, if the polls are showing his popularity is rising, what would make those polls any more real than the ones that he chooses to ignore? It's like fake news unless it's saying something good about him.
Well, it's just like the trajectory of unemployment. You know, black unemployment's at its lowest. Of course, it was on a better trajectory when I wasn't in office, but it's okay. You know, everybody should be grateful, right? And meanwhile, at the same time, he also wants to pardon Muhammad Ali, who doesn't require it.
I know. Well, listen, he's looking for famous black people to try to get the blacks behind him. I mean, it's so obvious that, you know, when I follow that on Facebook and I look at the threads, the black people are actually commenting on it, saying, doesn't he think that we're smart enough to see right through this bullshit? And that's truly what it is. But I don't know if you got to see. I couldn't watch all of it, but I got to watch some of Dennis Rodman's nervous breakdown on the air, wearing his MAGA hat and crying. And, you know, now when we have to have people like Dennis Rodman, Ted Nugent, or Kim Kardashian giving the president advice, how much lower could we possibly sink? What's left? Looney Tune cartoon characters?
Well, you know, I think that would be really good. If you played him on Fox, you know, news channel, you might be able to get through to the man, and maybe Bugs Bunny could explain to him why Canada is actually our friend. It's a possibility. I don't know.
I posted the story of Canada. I forgot what they called it, some Operation Rescue or something like that, after 9/11, when they immediately took like 8,000 New Yorkers, you know, away from Ground Zero, and they were housed by private people in their homes in Canada until they could come home. You know, Canada's always been our friend. And I think that Trump's problem is, look at Justin Trudeau, look at Emmanuel Macron. Okay, they're young, they're fit, they're handsome. So they're immediately Trump's enemy. But now he found his little double in Kim Jong-un, two little roly-polies, bad hair, both liars, both dictators. And of course, you know, he's seen his soul. I'm sure he's going to say, I've seen his soul, and he's a wonderful guy. I'm going to adopt him.
Well, let's be clear. Trump is frustrated that he's not a dictator. He really wants to be, though, and he respects them quite a bit, it seems,
doesn't
it?
Those are the only ones he seems to like. Listen, he's always been a gangster wannabe from when he was younger in New York. Okay?
Oh, now you're touching on my subject here.
All right. So he went from a gangster wannabe to a dictator wannabe. But I think that the real gangster is going to be Michael Avenatti taking him down by the knees.
Well, see, that's the hysterical thing, is that we're watching every sort of, and this is the thing, in our society at this point, there is a significant portion of the population which seems to reward wannabeism, and I don't understand it exactly. I've got to tell you, I like people that are true to themselves, that, you know, speak from a position of integrity, that attempt to, when they're informing the public, inform them with some level of decency regarding respect for the truth. But there is none of that any longer. It's a matter of whatever you want to be, you can be, and I guess, you know, I'd like to support that. However, I'm watching people that want to be things that they do not have the psychological, emotional, or, you know, spiritual capacity to begin to carry the jockstrap for.
Right.
I hate to use that metaphor, but that's what it is. Trump could never be a gangster. There was no way. Of course, he dealt with some gangsters, but which gangsters did he actually deal with? You know, when you're dealing with a guy like Castellano, this was not the most street of street credible gangsters.
Right.
I'm sorry. I know he was the head of a family and all that, but let's be honest about it. When this guy goes to deal with dictators, only dictators that are, you know, cozying up to him and ones that he thinks he can befriend.
Right.
Or ones that pay him.
Or people that dress as badly as he does. I mean, I looked at both of them and I'm like, okay, both these guys can well afford to be wearing some decent suits, but they both look like Pluto and Bluto. And I was like, what the hell? You know, the similarities are crazy. But listen, Kim Jong-un was the grand winner in this, okay? He made himself like a rock star. You know, people were posting pictures of him, walking through the streets, taking selfies of himself, trying to normalize him as, oh, look, he's the latest rock star. You know, look, he made Dennis Rodman cry, happy tears. I'm like, why doesn't Dennis Rodman just stay there, okay? I'm trying to think of that comedy where they did a parody in the movie of Kim Jong-un and his basketball friend from America. That actually was a funny movie.
What was it? The Interview, right? Where they go over there and they do an interview with him and then they try to kidnap him.
Right. That was hilarious. I don't know. I don't remember who was in it, but that was hilarious. But at the same time, when I thought that movie was so funny, I also thought it was helping Kim Jong-un for people to think of him as, oh, look at what a fun young man he is.
Well, you know, that along with their master spy being able to meet with the president in the White House. See, I always remember the context here. And this is their master spy that met with the president a little while ago with that giant envelope everybody got to see.
Right, we never found out what was in the envelope, though.
Well, you know, it's going to be a great thing. You want to see it? How bad you want to see it? I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm sure you want to see it.
Right.
I mean, you know, exactly what level of clown college do you need to go to achieve this? I'm not sure, Maria, but it is remarkable, yes?
Well, yeah. I mean, and originally he said it was a great letter. He was, you know, bragging about the letter, and, you know, 2 minutes later he said, well, I haven't read it. Okay, so people don't understand. Everything that comes out of this man's mouth is a fabrication of the fantasy land he lives in, and a lie. All right. So here he walked away with absolutely nothing, you know, or you called it capitulation. I call it concession after concession with nothing in return. And yet, you know, everybody's going to blow smoke all over this. I'm sure it's all you're going to see on TV today is, oh, look, give him his Nobel Prize. I figure he went over there to try to save, to salvage those coins he had printed so he could make some money off of them. He doesn't,
you know,
like to lose money. Condos in North Korea, that's where everybody wants to go on vacation. You know, it's bad enough coming to the United States on vacation, especially Arizona, where I always tell people, come on vacation, leave on probation, if you get to leave. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you there, and I gotta tell you that I know we're getting close to when you're probably going to want to take a break, but I want to kick a thought at you because an interesting question got asked on Twitter, and I caused a bit of laughter among dozens of people, and I thought it was really relevant and really important to get this across because. And I'm going to put the question to you in case you hadn't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
You know how they name fragrances?
Uh-huh.
You know, so if you were to name the fragrance that this particular presidency has, okay, what would you name it?
What would I name it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, like
God.
A perfume name. You know what I mean? Like whatever by whoever. You know what I mean? That kind
Maybe
of thing.
Maybe I would be... Urinalysis by Trump.
Urinalysis. I like that one. I went with, ready for this one, Shart of the Deal by Ivanka.
Shart of the Deal. Well, they had something similar on Facebook to name a movie. You know, if they make a movie about this Trump administration, what would you call it? And I have a big meme that's just big letters that says Cafone. So I put that up and people loved it. You know, instead of Capone, which in Italian
is
a Capone.
I totally got you. And we've used that word about this guy before, and it is appropriate.
For him, for Scaramucci, pretty much for all of them. But we're supposed to cry for them. What did you think about the fact that right after his TV economist, Larry Kudlow, was tearing Justin Trudeau a new asshole on some talk radio show, that Kudlow ended up having a heart attack?
Oh, that guy. You know, is that the one with the permanently fixed bottom teeth that speaks with that waspy type, you know,
right.
The guy from Gilligan's Island sort of speech?
Right.
That guy, yeah. I did not take notice that he had a heart attack.
I think it was like right at the summit when Trump said, you know, our great friend and great economist or some other smoke blower, Larry Kudlow just had a heart attack. So, of course, the internet went wild with that. Most people saying we didn't know he had a heart. And I just kept posting Karma's a Bitch. And Instant Karma, man, that song by John Lennon, I posted that right away because it was like minutes after he was getting all hot and bothered, tearing into Justin Trudeau, like another maniac on TV said that there's a special place in hell for Justin Trudeau. But obviously,
yeah,
there's a special place
in
Trump's life
extreme.
For Kim Jong, though. He gets a special place in Trump's administration.
Well, and Putin's ready to welcome back all the world leaders since Trump invited him back into the G8, which I didn't know was Trump's place to do.
Well, it's
you
the
know,
G6
all of that
now.
Having happened, we're also treated to the idea that this guy, you know, continuously rips up official pieces of paper, which are supposed to be kept as, you know, presidential papers. Because ready for this, folks, believe it or not, those things in a technical sense belong to the American people.
Right.
He is destroying the property of the American people. The presidential papers actually belong to us. You know, and therefore there's a staffer running around taping them back together. Did you see that story?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of people just taping them together. Well, I mean, this is what he did at Trump & Co. When they get investigated, they start shredding everything. So, you know, when his pal Hannity said, you know, everybody should start smashing their phones to pieces before Mueller gets them, which I understand is a felony to encourage witness tampering of 20 years. But people were defending Hannity, saying, oh, he meant it sarcastically. Well, but he said it. You know, what's the difference when they say it or when, you know, a Democrat says something and immediately is forced to resign?
Well, that is the way it works. But, you know, speaking of witness tampering, we totally missed the story on Manafort, didn't we?
Oh, I didn't. I didn't.
Well, no, we just in this discussion, I'm saying. But what's funny is I found it remarkable that as the normalization of this ridiculousness continues in the mainstream media especially and in the fringe right alternative, quite honestly, what's happening here is really, really strange. Okay, here's the deal. They're normalizing all this behavior and saying things like, well, why is it that, you know, Manafort is behaving this way because he assumes that Trump will pardon him, and that's why he's doing it. No, he's behaving this way because he recognizes that one way or another, you know, because they say, well, there's no reason for him to keep doing this. He's already got a pardon in his hand. He doesn't have to interfere with his own case. But people don't understand that if you wreak havoc on every single thing you touch and you cause enough problems, then everything can become contaminated. Lots of cases can become dismissed without the necessity of a pardon. And if this guy knows he's got a blank check to do whatever he wants, hey, look, I'll pardon you for the witness tampering. I'll pardon you for this. Anybody got any dead people I can pardon, by the way? And get me a couple of blacks so that way I can win back some of those votes like I did when Kim Kardashian showed up and presented a real issue. Which, you know, I found kind of strange that the most legitimate and heartfelt, decent thing that was done by this administration was encouraged by the most, oh, I don't know, superficial human being on the planet, pretty much.
Well, don't forget, Trump likes his porn stars, okay? And Kim Kardashian's claim to fame was her sex tape. That's what put her on the map, you know? So I wasn't surprised, you know, why would he turn down her visit to the White House? And that was during the time his wife was missing for, what, 23 days? Anyway, Chuck, let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water. And since I know I have a lot of new listeners here, Chuck, tell people a little bit about your show and your website, which is one of less than five that I actually recommend.
Well, you know, the main feature over there is what I do five nights a week. And believe it or not, that is all free. You can go over there and get the podcast every night, or you can listen live if you want between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Eastern time zone. But there's a lot more than that going on over there, and we have a member section, and do appreciate the fact that there are people that are supporting us as we expand. I certainly encourage everybody to come on over and check out what it is we're doing. There's going to be some interesting expansions coming up, and I'm doing the best I can as a blind guy running it, basically on my own, you know. Little help from my friends to get me started on a lot of things, but effectively, this is my show, and I've added a couple of interesting friends over there who are producing some interesting stuff. I'm trying to exchange education with people, not only live on the show, but behind the scenes. And, you know, I do appreciate you guys going over to Ocelli.com. It's a unique spelling. You know, like I said before, Maria with the E, M-E-R-I-A, is a unique spelling, Maria.net over there. But I'm at Ocelli.com. And this show winds up in the members section every month, just like it does at Maria.net.
Okay. Right. And you never know when I'm going to drop in on one of those Chuck's All Alone Taking Phone Calls nights.
You know, that has happened too, and it is a lot of fun. Somehow we wind up, you know, they get to hear an hour of us once a month, but when you and I get to talking sometimes, we never know exactly where it's going to go, and it's always entertaining, and I love you for calling in every once in a while, Maria. I really appreciate it.
It's fun when I catch your post. I said, oh no, Chuck's all alone. Shouldn't I? And I usually do. Chuck, you know, people are talking about how Trump didn't want to discuss human rights with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Now, the UN has basically said that no country on earth is worse on human rights than North Korea. But my thought was, how dare he talk to anyone on human rights when we're caging children north of the border, you know, of Mexico, when we're separating parents from their children, when the cops are beating the crap and shooting anybody for walking, talking, blinking while black. Now, of course, they're attacking women, white people too. You know, people don't understand that first they're coming for the immigrants. Remember that poet? You know, when they came for this one, I had nothing to say because it wasn't me. People don't understand. This is, you know, the human rights in this country have long been gone. We have the biggest prison population in the world. We have two sets of laws, one for the rich, one for the rest of us. You think if you and I were guilty of what Manafort's done, we'd be walking around with a bracelet on our ankle?
Oh, absolutely not.
So, no, you know, we can't talk about human rights as we slip into, you know, less than a third world country. The UN is saying what we're doing is wrong with these splitting up these families at the border. You know, Jeff Sessions now says he's not going to take any victims of domestic or gang abuse, people trying to escape their countries, which I see as more another step on their war on women. As we continue to crush women's rights to their own bodies, where would we ever come off talking about human rights to anyone in the world?
Well, and the other factor here, which needs to be mentioned, is would Trump actually know anything about this? Would he be able to articulate it? Is he aware of anything in history at all? I mean, after all, he said recently that he thought the Canadians had burnt down the White House in the War of 1812,
right,
when they weren't even a country yet. But, hey, you know, don't let the facts get in the way of a reality, right? And you're absolutely correct. Children in cages. You know, the abuses of people that are showing up for various reasons here on the border. But hey, why not? We're talking about a country where everybody complained, again, about the drone strikes and that sort of behavior from the Obama administration. They've only been increased under Trump. Covert warfare still going on in a lot of places. We got a dirty war in Yemen nobody's talking about, although they vaguely mention every now and then that there's some U.S. backing of somebody over there. Mm-hmm. Hey, whatever happened to Syria anyway, Maria, right?
Right.
Every day
it's like, let's all just concentrate on the ridiculous tweets coming out of a president who can't actually do his job, is unfit for his job. But he wants to comment on everything every movie star says, what's going on in the NFL, this, that, the other thing. I've never seen such a chooch in my life that feels he has to respond to stuff like that. I mean, one thing you got to say about Obama is he conducted himself like a man and like a human being, because he had plenty he could have retorted to. I mean, he was attacked every single day just for being black. But he kept his cool. Do you know what I mean? He kept his cool. This guy's a firecracker going off every minute of every day.
Well, not every minute of every day, Maria. And here I got to push back against that. And you know why? Because when it came to the G7, did you notice that this guy couldn't get out of bed on time, couldn't keep his appointments, and even when he showed up, couldn't pay attention to what was actually happening?
He even fell asleep at one point, and then he didn't put his earbuds in when the president of France was talking.
Yeah, right.
And he fell asleep, and he was a wrinkled mess. And a lot of people were disgusted by the way he presented himself there, let alone, you know, that he blew us out of the G7.
Yeah, well, you know, you have the guy who's a gavone because he doesn't know any better, and then you have the guy who actually celebrates being a gavone, yeah?
Right, right. A chooch. So we'll have to add the word chooch to gavone as well. But, you know, I mean, it was an embarrassment to the world. And again, every time he goes overseas, like he did again at the G7, he tears our country apart. He, you know, was ragging on all our past presidents. He's ragging on the fake news. You know, some guy asked him a question, oh, who are you with? Oh, CNN. Oh, fake news. I should have figured that. This is how he's representing America. So to me, he's the most un-American, traitorous president I have ever seen. Listen, I don't like our past presidents. I don't like our foreign policy. Okay. But I'm not the president of the United States. I'm not going to go over to our enemies and start tearing down our Justice Department, our FBI, whatnot, like he's done with Russia and everybody else. And yet his fans seem to be A-okay with that. So are they too un-American? Because they were happy to call any truther after 9/11 un-American.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing. There's a special place in hell for you if you do anything to speak against this guy. But, you know, if you did it before, it was okay, you understand. I find it fascinating, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about this non-summit of a summit that occurred just now. Do you notice that really nothing at all was legitimately accomplished?
Of course.
An agreement to denuclearize without any sort of specifics.
Right.
I mean, nothing accomplished outside of, can we figure out which one is the dog and which one is the pony? Because we just got a show.
Right. Well, he went over there first time ever. He's going to work out a nuclear disarmament treaty without even a science advisor with him. Because, of course, science doesn't exist in this administration because it's all about God.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say the Trumpansies don't believe in science, Maria. What do you want?
But, you know, Trump said he's prepared for this meeting his whole life. Really? How? All he did was try to sell Kim Jong-un condos on the beach.
Well, see, now that's the thing, is if he's offering him a casino and a deal and a construction contract that he can later stiff somebody on the bill for, then yeah, sure. I mean, obviously he doesn't have to worry about the fact that he doesn't have to put like a C on anybody's applications to indicate that they're colored, which is something that he did in the 70s. But anyway, who's counting the past or facts, right?
Right.
The reality
facts don't
is,
count.
Like you said.
Right, right. But, you know, at the same time, what people are not paying attention to is all the white, evangelical, crazy judges, male judges he's installing throughout the country. They're not paying attention to, of course, net neutrality, which went away today. They're not paying attention to he wants to get rid of the pre-existing coverage on Obamacare. You know, or they're not paying attention to how Americans are going to be paying more for food, for clothes, for everything because of his great trade deals and tariffs, or the fact he wants a 25 cents increase tax on gas a gallon. You know, nobody's paying attention to the disenfranchised voters that the Supreme Court just approved this week, that if you don't vote or you don't get your mail after a while, they can take you off the voter rolls. You know, nobody's paying attention to any of that. They're all paying attention to the photo ops and the bravado of the king of idiots, all right, the king of fools. And you know, people, you know, it's like that old con man, you know, watch my left hand so you don't know what my right hand's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I talked to one of my friends who was pro-Trump, who the only, when he had so many pre-existing illnesses that when I tried to get insurance for him, not a one insurance company, they all said uninsurable. So I said to him, look, I know you're a big Trump guy and you hate Obama, but there's still, you know, why don't you check out Obamacare, see if you could actually get on it, because it was when it was still open enrollment.
Right.
This guy who got really denied from every insurance company got Obamacare for $363 a month. And I said to him, I told him the other day, bad news, your Trump might exactly get rid of that pre-existing coverage. And if that happens, you're uninsurable.
Yeah.
People don't realize that you can actually become uninsurable. It doesn't matter how many thousands of dollars you're willing to pay a month. There are certain people, if you've had every disease in the books, the insurance companies aren't going to touch you.
Well, right. That's it. And that's why there needs to be, you know, something. Unless, you know, listen, unless we're going to become the society where if you're too ill, hey, just die. You know, is that where we want to be? Is that really who we want to be? That's the question I keep asking
right.
a lot of these people that support this stuff. Is that really who you are?
Well, that's
because
interesting
if it
to
is,
say
you know,
that, Chuck. Because they did a tally, I guess, of the 5,000 Americans that died in Puerto Rico due to the ineptness of Trump and company. And the majority of them were people over 70 years old.
Well, of course.
And I thought to myself, they want to get rid of all us seniors because we know too much. And, you know, they want to steal what little's left of our Social Security.
Well, you know, why not? Whatever else is it nailed down? You know, that's what it comes down to at this point. It is amazing to me, too, that we didn't even really touch upon Giuliani, the embarrassing Italian again. Who is out there ranting and raving and also supporting the idea that King Trump can pardon himself.
Well, Giuliani, you know, when everybody's ragging on him, and I see Michael Avenatti's taking on Giuliani on the porn thing, he's determined to prove that Giuliani watches and uses porn. I guess, you know, maybe he forgot his Saturday Night Live gig where he was dressed as a woman, too, and Trump was making out with him. That's a Saturday Night Live people should Google. But what's interesting, when I see those posts where Avenatti's looking for help or whatever, I always put down, investigate Giuliani's part in 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
See, nobody wants to talk about that, you know, roll him out, America's mayor. He was never America's mayor, okay? That was all bullshit you and I know. You know, he was a big part and party of what happened on 9/11, and he self-admitted that, you know, we never had a terror attack until Obama, okay? Well, he knows, you know, to me that was a Freudian slip because what do you call 9/11? You know, but obviously he knows it wasn't a terror attack because he was in on it. You know, so I was thinking that Giuliani would never have the guts to show his face again, but obviously he's got a hard face.
Well, you know, that's the other thing is that a lot of people are emboldened by stupidity being rewarded. And this is an amazing thing to watch it snowball, like I said. You know, watching the uptick in his approval ratings, which I do believe is true. I mean, I got to tell you, I believe it is the truth. There are a lot of people who have lost faith in a lot of things over time, and rightfully so. But now they have displaced themselves into a place where, you know, simply because
right.
the government is a bad thing doesn't mean you need to embrace the dictator who comes along and tells you he's going to fix it.
Right.
You know, and doesn't mean that you select an idiot to lead your party trying to get its way out of the wilderness simply because the smart guy made mistakes before or the smart guy was a bad guy. It doesn't mean that you go for the absolutely most ridiculous choice in order to shake things up. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, he's the golden calf of the fake Christians. Do you know what I mean?
Well, and you know what? And you know what really makes me angry? Let me get this out really fast. What really makes me angry is I have watched people over the years talk about the Antichrist, okay?
Right.
Over and over again. And literally, I have a visceral reaction to this guy every time I see or hear from him, and I can't stand the fact that I've got to cover him just to be able to stay up with the news, right? But the thing is, Obama was the Antichrist. Other presidents, they were the Antichrist. Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist at one point, according to some people's theories. But not this guy, who comes in exactly almost as they described the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying I believe in any of that. I'm just saying I find it remarkable that somehow this level of moronic audacity is rewarded as opposed to being criticized as roundly as it should be by everybody. And I don't mean just for the ratings grabbers over there at CNN and MSNBC and all that. I mean everybody should be pointing out that this is dangerous to be this ignorant about everything.
Well, you know, my mother used to say, show me your friends and I'll show you what you are.
Mm.
And I think that fits for anybody defending this buffoon. It fits their IQ. It fits their un-American-ness, if that's, there's a new word, un-American-ness. You know, I try not to get too crazy over these things, but obviously that little girl patriot inside me is fuming like 90% of the day. She's like, what have they done to my country? And looking at these people who are so quick to call truth people un-American, anti-American, why don't you leave the country? And now we have the biggest un-American president in history, and these people worship him. Do you know that the evangelicals are putting a movie together to show that Trump was chosen by God? They're actually making a movie. So,
I saw that.
Talk about 666 Fifth Avenue. It couldn't be belong to a better family than this one.
Well, and the amazing thing about that whole bit about him being chosen by God and the evangelicals making this decision, I mean, he is absolutely also capitulating to them at all times. He doesn't believe a single thing they believe.
No, I mean, he's always been a self-proclaimed atheist. You know, in his books, he's admitted to being an atheist. Now he's a baby Christian because they adopted him, and that's how they refer to him, the baby Christian.
There you go. But he's got to turn around and keep those people happy over at the Christian Broadcasting Center.
Those are his only
people.
Where
Mike Huckabee, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' father, you know, is kind of a rock star in the Christian broadcasting circles, yeah? So this is the way this rolls.
Right, but if they're such a Christian, I mean, she's breaking the Bible, biblical law about thou shalt not lie every minute of every day. You know, so, you know, don't throw the Bible at me if you don't live it. I'm not interested. Do you know what I mean? And that's why I always like throwing, you know, scriptures right back in their face. You know, and I found a scripture about the whore of Babylon that I saved a meme of so I don't get kicked off Facebook for calling Ivanka what other people want to call her. Just put that in there. Whore of Babylon. Here's the scripture. You know, just plain without even a word from me. You know, the beast of Revelations. I got a meme for that with the 666 on the beast. I just post that without any words. So they don't know whether I'm an evangelical or not. Do you know what I mean? But if you're going to read the Bible and you're going to defend it, then you better defend and live it. Live all of it, which no one wants to do. You know,
well, it's a strange world we're in where the mark of the beast is apparently a spray-on tan and a comb over. But here we are.
And a stretch. Well, you know, it's like every day you wake up. I don't know if you're like me, but I wake up and there's a part of me that dreads looking at the news because I don't like being upset. You know, I can realize now I can't even watch late night shows last before I go to bed because then my mind's obsessed with Trump and I can't sleep, even though it's all jokes. So now I have to rearrange the schedule of what I put in my mind before I go to sleep so that I might actually be able to sleep. But how many people out there are patriotic enough or knowledgeable enough about America to lose sleep over what's happening? And they should be losing sleep over what's happening, you know, because every Holocaust survivor that you talk to that writes or posts, this is exactly how it happened in Nazi Germany. ICE people, you know, arresting people, ICE raids, you know, the cops. I mean, all of it exactly the way it went down in Germany. And then when somebody posted that these children are being shipped by freight train, I mean, how can that not conjure up images of Hitler's reign? And everybody, the Christians are okay with that. They're okay with kids in cages. They're okay with them being separated from their families. You know they'll never see their families again. They're okay with the 1,500 kids that are missing. Okay? But yet they're going to say, save the fetus. You know what I mean? Save the fetus. Well, make sure you birth that baby.
Yeah, that too. And meanwhile, you know, one of the most moving memes I've seen over and over again recently is from veterans who put out a post showing a World War II veteran in uniform, and it says, you are dishonoring our country right now because you are supporting someone who speaks exactly like the people that I risked my life to fight. And these are World War II veterans who are putting out this stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I can't argue with them, Maria.
No, I mean, think about the heartbreak that they must be going through looking at what they fought for. Some of them died for, lost their buddies too. And, you know, they fought the Nazis, and now we have Nazis burning, you know, burning Nazi symbols and crosses, you know, in Charlottesville, where they just elected a white supremacist. They elected a neo-Nazi in Charlottesville. No surprise there. I mean, who would have ever believed this would be America in 2018? I didn't.
Yeah, sadly, by the way, quick update, I'm just seeing on my feed that Mr. Kudlow is in good shape, although he did certainly suffer a heart attack, and I wasn't aware of that before we went to air, but yeah.
Oh, well, maybe better luck next time. I hate to be a nasty person, but...
You know, I was thinking that, but
listen,
I wasn't going to say it.
Look, you know what? These people are all demons. In my estimation, they're all demons. You could call them reptilians. You could call them archons. To me, they're all demons. They're traitors. They're un-American. I have zero compassion for them because they have no soul. People don't understand this type of sociopathic behavior. But you look at any of their eyeballs, none of them look human. Not a one. And I've seen Trump's eyeballs go totally black more than I saw Obama's go that way. All right. So, you know, pay attention to their eyeballs, because everything you need to know is, you know, the eyes are the mirror to the soul. And a lot of these people have no mirror. We'll put it that way. Anyway, we're not going to change the world in 1 hour, Chuck, but we still got to say what needed to be said, I suppose. But listen, you know, Americans are either going to wake up or, you know, one of the predictions I made many years ago, I have said since I started teaching the medicine wheel, a nation founded on genocide can only end the same way. So unless people wake up and take action, that's what I feel is going to end up being on deck.
Again, I cannot argue with solid logic, and it is a rare commodity nowadays, Maria.
Well, you take good care, Chuck, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks. Chuck Ocelli. Check out his work at ocelli.com. I have a live link to his site right here. And listen, we may be a little strong, but the times call for it, okay? The time for being quiet or reserved or accepting is long past, okay? So if you want to live in some dystopian nightmare of idiocracy, that'll be your choice, but it sure as hell isn't my choice. Not for me, not for my kids, not for my grandchildren, not for your kids, not for their grandchildren's, and certainly not for planet Earth, which is suffering even more. Anyway, thanks again for listening, and I'll see you guys on Thursday.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.